319. Shout out to the 319, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, that area. This episode isn't totally void of football talk. We got Nick Saban calling out Texas A&M for buying their entire recruiting class. And then Jimbo is going to air out some Nick Saban dirty laundry. I'm all for the drama. Bring it on, right? Right on the heels of the PGA Championship. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, to episode 319, an episode that's close to all of our hearts, the area code of the city that brought us all together and made this podcast possible. So 319 is a very fitting episode for the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. But after that, not really sure how much football this is going to be about. This is really the PGA Championship podcast and the also I called it podcast. Kevin did not bet JT, even though I gave him that recommendation. JT comes from eight back to win the PGA legendary tournament. That's what we were doing for the past like 5 hours. So I'm pretty hyped up about that. Kev?
Tough beat for the boys, man. Tough beat for the boys.
Kev had Will Zalatoris at plus 3,500. And Willie Z was in a three-hole aggregate playoff. If you weren't watching, you're dead wrong. Damn, dude, lose by one stroke in the aggregate. They both shoot under par, and Kevin misses out on a decent little payday.
Yeah, it would have been a nice one. You know, he was crushing it after 36 holes with the lead. Was he minus nine? And then has just a very poor round three and an average Sunday round, honestly, too. I was able to come back and force a playoff 17-18, but I just didn't get it done. And honestly, shouldn't have even been in position because JT shouldn't have won this tournament either.
No. I was about to say that this tournament was a very good representation of how pressure makes diamonds and how it can also just turn you into a pile of poop, because the leader, the 54-hole leader had a three-shot lead, and even a two-shot lead going into like 17 or something like that. And ends up – or maybe it was 16, but he ends up with a one-shot lead going into 18 and doesn't even make the playoff. So pressure, tough little deal.
Yeah, I don't know what – it looked like he tried to put like a weird swing on his tee shot there. Did you see that?
Dude, if I've ever seen – an absolute miss decision making. That was it. Hit three wood. You have the lead by one shot in the tournament. Just make par. Like, hit three wood.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he doesn't have to do anything crazy. If you're on in two, you're in phenomenal shape.
Phenomenal shape. That is a super hard green to hit anyways. And so, I mean, if you're 200 out versus 180 out, it's not that big of a difference.
Yep. Anyway, he takes a weird tee shot 18, ends up in the drink, then goes over his second shot, has a poor chip, ends up making double and misses out on the playoff. That is a tough hole as well. Put it in football terms. You have the ball with a minute 30 left and a touchdown and somehow lose?
I mean, to be honest, it's like his 18 meltdown was the Falcons versus the Patriots.
I don't know if it was that big. It was a one-shot lead. It wasn't down 20.
I mean, he hit it in a drink and made double bogey on 18. That's pretty bad.
It's not good, but I don't know if it's 25 in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl bad.
It was Michigan. Right. It was Michigan intercepting CJ, and us still finding a way to hit the field goal at the end in a minute 45.
Yeah, something like that.
I like when you guys just talk and I sit here. I'm fucking low sleep right now, boys.
Today, speaking of, so. Yesterday was open mat at jiu-jitsu, and I did 15 rounds, eight of which were with black belts, and four of which. So, you know, we talk about Frank all the time at DHT at least.
Oh, yeah.
Frank and I, in a 35-minute span, grappled for 20 minutes.
Good Lord.
So that doesn't I was good. Absolutely dead today at the gym and laid around like a dead fish. And that was pretty embarrassing.
Pretty embarrassing.
Low energy, guys.
How was the bachelor party up north, man?
It was good, man. I woke up in Watertown, Minnesota this morning. We stayed at a town.
Is that where you went to bed, I hope? Or
it's also where I went to bed. Yeah.
Did you have a beverage?
I had a couple. It wasn't.
Good for you, man. At least you popped
there we go.
One.
Couple rounds of shots last night. The bar went down.
Did you eat an Eddie? Anybody have an Eddie?
There was a bowl being passed around.
And?
And no participation.
Of course. Why would you ever be
Drake's like the fucking 17-year-old who's trying to get his 15-year-old brother and his friends to smoke, dude.
Boob, you sound like you are like pretty dead. What'd you guys do?
It's not like, we didn't do anything crazy. People have been to bachelor parties that have been a lot more wild than this. But, I mean, your guy lives on 8 to 9 hours of sleep, and I'm running on back-to-back nights of 5. So that's not good.
How was the disc golf?
I'm telling you, man, disc golf, you get a group together. First of all, we also carried a cooler full of, full of, bevs around the front nine. And then they're like, fuck it, we're dropping this off in the car before we play the back nine. So the rest of the guys, they're well lubricated. And this town had 4,200 people in it, and we stayed in it because that's where the Gimbo wanted to disc golf. The town on the outskirt of town, on this beautiful country road, on this large piece of land, happened to have an Airbnb that's like brand new, modern, gorgeous, sleeps 16, and just happens to be in this random small town that also had the disc golf course. So it was a hell of a time. Fire pit in the back. There was a pool. Unfortunately, it was only like 55, 60 degrees all weekend. Otherwise, we would have smacked that. Had a sauna in the pool house. Like, this place was stacked. Yeah, bro. So, disc golf.
I love that El Gimbo. He's just like, you know what? Bachelor party. I can do whatever I want. We're going to get the boys together for a weekend of disc golf. That's a very
I was about to say. I was literally about to take the words out of your mouth, Kevin. I was going to say, huge shout out to Gimbo for having his bachelor party in Nowheresville, Minnesota, and playing disc golf with the bros.
It was amazing.
But you know that it's like, he didn't give in to pressure for like what, your typical bachelor party is, and like your friends might want to go out drinking, boozing, all that stuff. He's like, this is what I want to do. It's my weekend, and you're all going to have fucking fun doing it.
And the thing is, so it was like me and you guys know Riley, and then another buddy from that's his best man from Marshalltown, and then 6 of his boys from SMSU who all played with him up there. One was not a former teammate, just a friend. And they are a cast of characters, bro. Like this group of guys. There's one guy who's absolute life of the party. He's just that guy. He's the comedy. He's Bo Bauer.
Are there a few dirtbags?
Bro. This guy, I got to get a picture for you. This guy's ripping darts all weekend. I mean, I probably have lung cancer from secondhand smoke from this guy. And he never runs out
people
of
it. Still smoke cigarettes, like just on the regular?
I guess. Despite the entire packaging being riddled with warnings of how you're gonna die if you use them. But this guy, I mean, he's just, I don't know how to describe him other than he's got Bo Bauer energy times 4. And he would fit in as if he was a character on Trailer Park Boys, you just threw him into the storyline. You would not know the difference. You'd just be like, yeah, this makes sense. And that's actually who this kid is. Fucking hilarious. He's cracking jokes 100% of the time. And then he's got a couple other boys, a few of his receivers. Good dudes.
Take a quick second to recognize that this podcast is sponsored by DRF Sports. Shout out to the boys at DRF. You know they've been hooking us up, sponsoring the podcast, kind of making this thing run, keeping the lights on around here. The Stanley Cup playoffs are here, if you didn't know, right? If you haven't been watching hockey, just watch the Blues lose last night. So if you want to bet on those games, you know, anywhere from player props to which teams will win, check out DRF Sportsbook every day for their latest boost. They want to see you cash in during the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, so they are boosting new odds each and every day. Head over to the DRF Sportsbook app or ia.drf.com and start betting today. Let's get back to the batch party.
We had a time on the course. I took Gamebo deep to the 17th and 18th hole. I mean, it was like, it was about to be a Zally JT situation on the Watertown disc golf course. And Gimble stepped up. He made a deep putt on 17, forced me to have to really reach on a drive on 18. Couldn't do it. And, he beat me by one stroke. So, and good for him.
So Gimbo was the winner. Do you actually have a pretty good disc golf game, Cliff?
I guess. My brother and
like, Gimbo, what's the winning score out here?
On this course, I think Blake won with plus six. Not anything special if you're going to talk like guys who actually are good in tournaments, but there was high winds. I wish you could see some of the drives these guys were throwing. Dude. They would just launch.
Well,
they don't understand the concept of like keeping the nose of the disc down. So these guys put this thing up there like an ultimate frisbee disc, and the wind catches it, and it looked like a kite flying in the sky, like just running away. So
I personally have no ability to throw a frisbee. So disc golf is a foreign sport to me. I dabbled a couple of times, and
it's
showing myself to be absolutely horrible.
It's different, man. I guess I have. I've played this round we played this weekend was my fourth round of disc golf, right? Because I knew we were doing it. I got a few discs a couple weeks back, and I've got a course right across the street here in Waukee. Played that a few times. Played with my brother and Gimbel now, who have both been playing for upwards of a couple years, and both of them have said that they are really pissed at how quickly I've already picked it up, so I guess I have something. Not like I'm gonna go anywhere.
You're good at like those weird things, man.
Yeah.
Like Rubik's cubes, disc golf,
backflips.
Like weird backflips. Yeah, yeah. You just pick up some weird things and you just get weirdly good at them.
I think that's why people hate me. That's why people like Drake are just always shitting on me, because it just doesn't make any sense. But yeah, that's my weekend. I've got no energy. I mean, this is what it is. I got no energy. I went to bed.
Kev, how about you explain your weekend? Let the people know why you won't be partaking in any rounds of disc golf for a bit.
Oh yeah.
There's going to be no disc golf on my part because, well, they had to cut out some parts of my body, and I've been laid up in bed pretty much since Thursday evening. But we're feeling all right, man. We're feeling all right. The block wore off, so they gave me like a block in like the nerve that runs to your shoulder and down your arm. So I didn't feel nothing all day Friday, and then it started to wear off and started to hurt a little bit.
And that didn't feel good.
That didn't feel good. So we took some feel good pills, and then we started to feel good.
I thought we were doing this Daddy Eddie. I thought
paging doctor feel good.
Nah, bro. I was struggling on Friday night. So I had to take some feel-good pills, but I don't like the way I feel the next day. I feel like groggy. I feel like out of it. So
yeah, because you get high.
I took one more last night. Yeah, I took one more last night just to get me through the night, but I'm pretty sure I'm done.
Dude, pain.
Hey, Kev, I want you to know that the way that you cure that is to take one morning. The way I like to do it was actually set a perk alarm where when my perk alarm went off, I would just reach on the nightstand, bang, bang. And then when I woke up to my real alarm, I was A-OK.
Jesus.
See, that is a strategy. However, I do like to be able to take a shit. I haven't had any problems there. Don't intend to have any problems going forward. I kind of look like a monster. I'll send you guys a picture of what the old scar looks like. But
yeah, I'd love that.
It's not good, man.
Bro, I think I found Drake a perfect NIL deal if we could go back. Purdue Pharma.
Park 30s.
Purdue Pharma. Can you imagine? I mean, that's a skit. It would never happen. But could you imagine Drake doing like Percocet commercials?
Honestly, we should get that skit rolling. We could have some fun with that.
Start it with the clip of Drake busting his ankle. That was me 3 months ago. But thanks to Purdue Pharma and the legends over there creating these beautiful little pills, I haven't felt a thing since.
Except for constipation, irritability.
I can't take a shit and my mood's a little off. And I have a slight addiction.
Prone to rage and a few other things. But other than that, I feel great.
But my leg doesn't hurt a bit. Oh, that'd be great. Some of just the most off-the-wall NIL deals. You get like something like Aaron Hernandez and Pablo Escobar. You know, like something like that.
Wow.
Just dropping like, just like totally not safe for work NIL promotions. Yeah, man.
Hernandez and Smith and Wesson.
Dude, Josie would have liked that NIL deal. Come on now. Oh, man.
Hitler and arsenic.
Well.
Okay, and that's gonna be the end of the joke right there.
Big arsenic would love that one. Let's see what else. Last night, one of the boys, when we were shopping, we're like, hey, we're gonna go get some snacks, right? Just for the weekend. We all go into the grocery store, everybody reconvenes at the checkout, and this boy comes back with a New York strip for every guy there. And he goes, guess what, boys? We're not going out for dinner. We're cooking steak tonight.
Who bought you a New York strip?
One of his boys from SMSU walked out of the grocery store with a New York strip and a twice baked potato for everybody.
Wow, that's a $20-something meal for everybody.
He just decided to ball out, right, for the boys. And then to cap off the weekend, really, the most small town thing. I mean, it was the most gimbal thing we could do. We had gone to this bar in the town earlier in the day for, you know, midday drinks and some lunch, some apps. That bar is the bar we went to that night for 4 hours and hung out. Like, and the same people that were there were still there at 1 a.m. It was beautiful.
Sounds like the happening place in town.
Oh yeah, it was. And then we capped the night off on the way home from the bar with three massive Casey's breakfast pizzas.
You betcha.
Oh,
this, to be honest, dude, you had me at disc golf for the bachelor party, right?
Right, right.
Then you had one of the bros throws down on strips and potatoes for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Now you really got me. Now you're going to tell me that the nightcap is Casey's breakfast pizza. I'm completely sold. This is the greatest bachelor party in Minnesota history.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, man. It wasn't bad. And the group meshed just right. It was a dandy old time. It was pretty fantastic. There's nothing better. I mean, there's nothing that hits more than a pizza past midnight. It's the ultimate food past midnight, especially if you're drunk, which I wasn't at the time. But I woke up hungover from the food we ate, not even the alcohol that was, because I didn't partake. I still felt like shit. I got 5 hours of sleep and I had 6,000 calories yesterday and I was hungover as fuck. Calories.
Have you ever heard anything more soft, Kevin?
No, I was about to say, yeah, you put this.
Do you see why I want to punch you in the face, Kluver, when you say shit like that?
I think I give a fuck, you know? Like,
well, one of these days, me and Drake, we're going to get married and we're going to have a bachelor party.
And you and Drake are going to get married together?
I'm actually really in on this story.
That's going somewhere.
And we're going to at our bachelor party that we're going to have together, because we don't trust each other, we're going to shove alcohol down your throat and make you actually feel like shit one morning.
And then I'm going to take a beer syringe and put it up your butt, because that's how people get really drunk.
Well, that's where I thought Kevin was going with this, is when he said, I'm going to shove. And I didn't know where it was going after that. But you guys act like I haven't like I didn't get silly after pro day, right? Like, I guess Drake wasn't there, but like I've been there. Kev, I've been there. How do you think I felt after that night at Weissman's, where they just let us have the house?
The night at Weissman's was 8 years ago, bro. Yep. Covering at 20 and 27 are two different things, man.
Yeah, it's, and I don't
it's
want
a different ball game out there now.
And so why, what's the dedicated, why would I put myself through that? Why would anyone do that? That's why I don't do it. It's like,
Boo, do you remember what you did that night at Weissman's?
I have complete recollection of that night.
I want you to tell me what you did. I want you to admit it to everyone.
I'm not telling that story here, bro.
I'm pretty sure we've already told it.
Allegedly?
Sure we definitely told.
Sure. No, we did not tell the full story. There's no story to tell. Okay?
It's not even that bad.
There's no story to tell. Some doors were locked and we needed in. All right? Sometimes you got to... Sometimes you got to get the
pops.
There was
that man was decisive. He was on it. He knew what he wanted and he just went for it.
Yeah. And we sometimes you got to get out the battery.
And I'm willing to bet that it was because of the few pops.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a keg. And I'm pretty sure when I walked in the door, there was a fucking massive bottle of Goose being passed around and people were taking pulls from it.
Goose got me loose, yeah. Gone off patrol,
which is disgusting.
What I'm saying is, Kluver, is that Tyler Kluver back there that night doesn't come out without a little help.
Do we want him to come out?
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully he gets lippy and I can beat the shit out of him. People have it on video why I did it.
Dude, I can't wait to have, honestly, a bachelor party for Drake at this point is, there's a race between that and a funeral.
Wow.
If he dies before he gets married, that means he lived his whole life as a bachelor. Sounds like reason enough for me for a bachelor party.
True.
Drake, would you be cool if we all, instead of going to your funeral, since we would all have that weekend off anyway,
took you to the bar,
boys together for a little party, celebrate your life, bachelor.
As long as you sprinkle a little bit of my ashes on the blunt and burn one down for me.
Wow. I don't know if that's, that makes me want to.
I don't know if that's sanitary.
But yeah, that's a little disgusting.
I
guess.
I did it with Boss.
Doesn't surprise me. Boss deserves that.
You did not.
I swear I did. I think I did it with my dad too, if I remember correctly. But I know I did it with Boss.
Wow. You really sent him off good, huh?
That's how I do it.
What would your father say?
I don't know. I put him in a tattoo and smoked him in a blunt. I don't really care, dude. He died too early for me to give a shit what he has to say about that.
Jesus Christ.
All right, and here we are, next episode on why you should go to therapy.
is this therapy part two? Hey, people liked the last episode. Yeah. I don't know if they want it all the time.
Did they? Was that hype?
Yeah, a lot of people were like, you know what, man? I like the guest episodes. The in-season stuff is great when there's a ton of stuff to talk about. But I don't mind throwing the boys on for an hour when I'm mowing or when I'm on a drive and just listening to them talk about life, you know?
I'm glad people don't hate it. We have a joke in there every once in a while. Kevin shuts down my jokes every once in a while.
Kevin wants to completely change the topic. Dude, to get her a little bit balance. Back. What was that, Kev?
It's all about balance.
Yeah, balance is good. To get her a little bit back on track, so this Mito guy, is that his name? He shit the bed on
Mito Pereira.
Guy let the balls get a little too sweaty, right? They were, or I guess tight. Butthole got real tight.
Real tight.
That's tough. So, you know, comes down to hole 17, 18 at the Watertown Disc Golf Course. And, you know, all I have is nine other dudes who in a disc golf match that doesn't mean anything. And I'm getting a little nervous with the disc in my hand, right? And so then I'm sitting here watching JT and Zally go at it, and I'm thinking, it ain't normal golf. It's a different game when you got the club in your hand and there's 20,000 watching you, right?
JT did the exact same thing at the Players Championship a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
That might have been Ricky Fowler. I may be misspeaking. It was either JT or Ricky Fowler, but JT's done this before.
You mean choked?
No, went out in the playoff and just hit through darts until the other guy withered.
Yeah. It's it felt the same a little bit in Kinnick when with snapping a ball. Like, we go into the indoor on a practice Tuesday and it's real easy. You go out into Kinnick and you start to think about the fans and the music playing and stuff mattering, and it's, you know, the arms start to get a little wobbly. It's just not easy.
Yeah, I mean, it for me personally, when the pressure is on, it's a lot easier to play like football.
Yeah.
Like, all fast paced, like whole body, not super fine movements versus, you know, we played a few rounds of golf in our day. It had a 20 on the line and was probably responsible. When you're walking up to that 18th tee dead even, it hits you a little bit different than, you know, walking out on the field with, 70,000. It's a different type of pressure when it's just you and the ball right there.
Dude, it's so much easier to just go like, you know, like Drake just has to run his head into a linebacker's chest.
And I like that under pressure.
Right.
And I know exactly how it's going
to
happen.
Instead of having to like control yourself and try and bring the heart rate down and swing nice and straight and smooth through.
Marshall made against Pitt.
Bro.
I mean, you have to have 12-pound stone brass that you just picked up off a block of dry ice.
Seriously. I won't lie. Those snaps, like the snap hold kick on that, you feel the moment. You feel it. Like, people are fucking lying. I mean, maybe some of the pros are at a spot where they were so keyed in over, you know, a 10, 12-year career. Shout out to Sam Cook, who just retired for the Ravens. Absolutely legendary punter. Like, that guy, yeah, in a big moment, he probably didn't feel it as much. But as a guy who's in college, that Michigan snap, the Pitt snap, the fucking, even the play against Ohio State, couple of those things, Nebraska walk-off field goals that they had like two or three years in a row with Miguel and Keith Duncan. And those are not the same as like a PAT against North Texas. It's the exact same rep, but it's so different. And I just was thinking about that. Golf might be even more exponentially hard because of that fact, like at the highest level, right? Because you don't just get
to say so. I'd probably argue too that the mechanics of a golf swing are more difficult than the mechanics of a snap punt.
Oh, I would kick. Yeah, I would jump on that 100%. Yeah,
there's a lot more that can break down in your golf swing when there's 10 million people watching around the planet and there's $1 million on the line between first and second place.
Right. And not only that, but a snap is either 7.5 yards or 14 yards. It's the same. It's one of two of the same snaps that you do over and over and over again. Whereas there's a million different golf shots that you have to first decide you're going to hit and then actually execute on. Like, so I'm just saying, like, golf as a sport in general, like, people know it's hard because they watch these guys do it. They go out and they're like, oh, it's not that easy to shoot par, huh? And then, but then not only are they shooting par or, you know, whatever he just won at I think they were minus six or minus seven or somewhere around there.
He was minus five, but the playoff, he was minus two holes.
Yeah. But to go and do that in front of a crowd, people are just shouting your name. There's distractions. It's hot. You're fucking.
Bro, I get nervous teeing off on the first tee when the starter's watching me. Sometimes that's just one dude.
Dude, I'm 100% with you. I mean, I don't golf, But when, like, if Lauren and I go out to the nine hole out here, I'll like kind of fuck around and wait until there's nobody else there so I can hit my first tee shot. Cause I don't want no one looking at me, man. I'll slice that thing into the, I just don't like it. I feel real self-conscious about it. I don't know. How about Nick Saban and Jimbo, huh? That's what I did want to talk about.
How about Nick Saban being the ultimate pot calling a kettle black guy?
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's the biggest hypocrite.
You didn't see it?
Biggest hypocrite of all time.
Not mention the fact that I've been like passed out for the last 2.5 days straight?
Wow.
The synopsis, Kevin, is that Nick Saban was effectively bitching about the fact that Texas A&M quote unquote bought the number one recruiting class, and Jimbo went like, fuck you, Nick. I can air out all your dirty laundry from all the years that everybody in the business knows about that we've kept quiet because you simply don't do that. But here you go. You're breaking the code. So why do I have to keep the code? And he didn't air him out, but he like obviously hinted towards the fact that while he was on staff with Saban, he knew directly about all of the illicit shit that they were doing, and he knows that it wasn't just in that time.
He put Nick Saban on notice?
Yeah, and he put the whole country on notice with him.
Yeah, he's got a loaded gun. I don't know if Saban wants to fuck with that, but he sure acted like he did. Basically, Saban...
I think Saban's already got a bullet wound.
I do, too. I mean, basically, Kev, Saban was talking to a large group of people on stage on like some panel that I believe a bunch of his boosters were in the crowd or in the audience or whatever. And he straight up said, like, name dropped. He's like, I mean, Texas A&M, they bought their whole class. All right. Paid for every guy. And it's like, okay. All right, here we go. He's lighting the fire a little bit. And Jimbo came out at a press conference 10 a.m. the next day and was like, yo, you motherfucker, if you want me to tell people about how you recruit, we can play that game. Like, we'll do it.
How y'all been buying people since before it was even allowed?
Well, I mean, not that it's allowed now, but yeah, basically that's what he's saying. Because Jimbo was an assistant of Saban for how long?
2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
A while.
So... I don't know. It makes me think about how Iowa does things. And I tweeted out the other day. I'm like, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Tyler Barnes is sliding cash under the table and just nobody knows about it. Like, I don't think so. I would put my life on knowing the staff that Iowa has, at least most of them are the same as when we were there, knowing how KF does things. And just the culture of that program. And I mean, it's not like we got a bunch of fucking guys running around. Like, we got Xavier Wampa, and he's about the only big name recruit on our team when it comes to the national scale. I just don't think they're buying guys, but maybe I'm wrong. And it just made me think, like, Iowa football, they're playing in a different league. How can you even expect to compete? Right. I mean, at this point, they've all but written the actual story, released the documentary on how the entire SEC is just, hey, how can we sweeten the deal enough for you to come play here? How does a Big Ten team play? Well,
I'll just put this out there. Per source, there was a highly recruited Hawkeyes we're going after that did not choosing to attend that school that is getting seven figures to attend some other school. So that is... that is the world in which, I don't know where it goes from here, honestly. It is absolutely wild.
I mean, I still think that the players who are, I don't know though, man, because like, even as a good kid that like has values and wants to go to a school for playing time and, you know, maybe that's their home.
Right, like, you know, like all the other schools have good coaches too, for the most part. Like,
yeah,
they can teach you the game of football too. It's tough to tell a kid this type of money for better coaching.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm saying. Is like, I don't know if I don't know if you can really blame a kid, or if the idea holds up that, like, oh, the good kids who have good values will, you know, will end up going to schools where they can build a culture and they can still compete, and all these schools that are paying their guys $1 million, they'll fall apart. I don't know if that's true. I really don't. So, I mean, it's yet to be seen, but
yeah, I mean, just you can have good character, good culture, and be a good kid. You'll get a lot of money
and still want to make a little green. Yeah. Especially when you're worth it and it's out there. I don't know. It was pretty wild though. I don't know where that goes, but it was.
I would just say that I'm happy that KF is not the type of guy to put another school or another coach's or player's name in his mouth when he's talking shit about other people. You know, that's a pretty unclassy move out of Mr. Saban, especially given everything that's going on in the SEC and has going on for the last 20 years.
I know. And that's what I thought too. Like, is that calculated by Nick? Like, he's not a dumb guy.
I think he must have had a couple too many scotches with the boosters and was up there just talking shit. I don't know how, dude, I don't know how you sit up there and do that. That's literally like having cheated on your wife a bazillion times and then making a comment when you and your wife are out with somebody else and their wife about your buddy having a girlfriend.
Yes, 100%. That's the exact same thing. There's three mistresses on the side and you go out with your boy and let it slip that he's been banging other chicks. And he looks at you like, wait a second, buddy. Are you fucking kidding me? Oh, man. I don't know what, like, Nick is not a dumb guy. Saban is, I say Nick like I fucking know him. Like, he was at the bachelor party in Watertown this weekend.
Well, in this situation, he deserves to be called Nick.
That's true. Little Nicky.
Stop being a fucking snitch.
He's so dirty. That, I mean, he must really think he has power, or that no, or that other people won't say something. That's wild. He must have had a few pops. I don't know. He's drinking a few of those Diet Cokes or something. I think they're laced or something. I don't know. I agree, Kev. I'm glad KF is at the front of the helm, at least through 2029 or whatever. Anymore, you just don't know. Like, you know what you got with KF, right? And I just, with other guys, you just don't know. Like, the whoever comes in after KF, unless it's a direct, you know, KF family coach, like LeVar or Seth or somebody like that, like that's been in the wings, it worries me a little bit, you know. And I know that, you know, it is what it is. At some point, Iowa's going to be different than it is today. Like, programs go through generational changes and shit, but I don't know.
Football's going to be different than it is today at one point.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to end up being 7-on-7, and every kid's going to make $1 million. That's what football is turning into on the safety front and the NIL front.
Dude, soon enough, soccer moms are going to call in plays.
Yeah.
The coaches are going to have to listen to the moms, because it's not right for the moms to not have a voice when their babies are on the field, right?
Yeah.
They got to have a say too.
My kids on the team, I deserve to call X amount of plays per game. That's where we're going. Fuck, man. I don't know. I ain't got shit else to talk about, bro. Again, tired. I drove 90 down from Minnesota this morning to get home. It's Sunday night at the Kluver household in Waukee, and you know what that means. It means triple butter burger with a hot fudge sundae. And that's what I ate right before I got on this podcast.
And weekend of eating shit food, and yeah.
Oh, dude, just a total weekend of taking steps backwards on all of my training and all that shit. Yeah. And that's why we only do this once every year, maybe.
Dude, you got like 340 days till next year's hockey tryouts. Like, you're good, bro.
Three.
10 months till next year's CrossFit tryouts.
Yeah, you're right. And I have been making like hella gains. It's just one of those things where you're trying to do something at such a high level. It's like jits, man. Like, I guess I don't really have an analogy, but like,
no, it's not like jits. Cause sometimes I eat edibles, mushrooms covered with edible oil
during the, yeah, for the session. Yeah, no,
one of my buddies literally just won a tournament called High Rollers, where between every match you have to smoke another joint before the joint. Yeah, before the match. So the guys in the finals, if there's been four matches, they've banged out four joints. It's called High Rollers, dude. You're supposed to be bombed by the end of it to see who has the best jiu-jitsu when you're just completely befuddled.
That's insanity.
That's not real. You made that up.
Look up High Rollers spelled with a Z, dude. I can send you guys the Instagram stuff of my buddy named Corey winning the tournament today. There's like black belt High Rollers tournaments that are televised out in Las Vegas.
That's wild, dude.
That's real.
The same thing I think I've heard on this podcast. Yeah.
No, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's unbelievable. Yeah, no, it's so bad. And then, you know, like a weekend like this, you wake up tomorrow, I've got fucking sprints on the rowing machine, and it's going to feel great. You know, it's just going to feel awesome. But
to be honest, it probably will, because you're going to have that adrenaline rush of knowing that you don't have as much sleep, and you're going to have all of those carbs built up in your body.
Yeah, the glycogen is fully stored right now. We've got it all.
Yep.
The sweat will feel good. The lungs probably won't, but that's all right. We'll have it back by Wednesday. We'll be fucking kicking. I got nothing else. This was like therapy, golf talk / High Rollers number two in a row. Either Thursday or next Monday, you guys are going to be hearing from the 3-time All-American, recently former Iowa Hawkeye gymnast, Lauren Guerin. I did a one-on-one with her last week, so that'll be going up at some point. About 40.
What's your wife think about that?
Well, it wasn't a one-on-one in that way, but she was a really good gymnast in floor routine, and yeah.
Why didn't you have me and Kevin on this podcast?
Well, if you check the old messages, and I told you during DHT, I'm going to have Lauren Guerin on, and I told you the time. I don't know. I'm not sure that having
I was not given said message.
Well, Kevin was unconscious while this was recorded, probably. No, he would have been awake, but he was in
Thursday night?
It was Thursday at 2 p.m.
No, I wouldn't have gone under yet. I was still waiting.
Okay, so you weren't available anyway. And Drake, I'll be real honest. I don't know if you would have added much to the conversation.
I would have added nothing.
So I was, you know, in a way.
But it's nice to be invited, right, Drake?
No, I was just making a joke, actually, Kev. I was trying to throw subliminal messages out there.
I'm trying to get the other Lauren on that we wanted to get on, Lauren Jensen from Creighton Basketball. Talk to her about just having the biggest game of her life.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I'm going to reach out to her. Trying to diversify the podcast guests. It's, you know, just make this a multi-faceted show.
I'll get Frank to take. I'll talk to him Tuesday about it.
He would be a dirty guest, bro. That would.
I'll talk to him on Tuesday about it. I'll say, yeah. Hey, when OTAs are over, can I get an hour of your time with my boys?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He'll donate.
We love that. He's literally Jocko Willink. Okay. Sorry for the low energy, fans. Hope you liked it. Hope you are going to have a great
week. I think this one was kind of fun. It was different.
It was decent. If anybody is a licensed, I don't know, maker of pharmaceuticals that want to sponsor Drake with an NIL deal, I'm sure he'd love to do it. So reach out.
I would.
Episode 319, special one. Shout out to 319, home of Tyler Linderbaum and Tristan Wirfs, who are really holding that area code down. And
about Austin Blythe?
Blythe also holding it down.
Is he 319?
I'm pretty sure Williamsburg is still in. Yeah.
Got a couple.
And then we got Keegan Murray, right? Cedar Rapids is 319, isn't it?
I believe he's from Cedar Rapids. There's some bangers that come out of the 319.
Dude, there's some good 319ers.
Yeah. I mean, shout out. Shout out to the IC. Wish I was there. Iowa City's a hell of a time. And we're getting close now. You know, 3-4 months, football season's going to be upon us. We're going to come down this summer stretch here. So everybody pack up and get ready. 319 with the
when
boys.
When football comes back around, it honestly feels...
It's a full tent. The tent starts to pitch itself a little bit.
Because from Thursday, you know, honestly, when I wake up on Thursday, I know I'm going to go train. And then all I got to do is get through the day. And then we got football, UFC, football.
It's better than right now. It's better than right now.
Better than anything else that life provides.
Basically. Yeah. 319. Wash up, walk on. Have a fucking great day. We'll see you next time. Peace.